The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
With a rise in smartphone use and addiction, are these devices ruining our social life? With thousands seemingly watching the Garth Brooks concerts through a lens, or people being out for a meal and scrolling instead of talking to the person in front of them, it's plain to see that smartphones are affecting our social interaction. Our reporter JJ Clark asked these people in Dublin if phones are spoiling our social lives.
I wouldn't say they're spoiling our social lives as long as it's in moderation, because technology is everywhere, and if you're not engaging with technology, you're really behind, you're really out of touch.
And in terms of, I suppose, you go, you're friends, right? And
yeah.
So you go coffee somewhere or a drink, would it be all right for you both to check your phones periodically while you're chatting? It's not rude, is it?
I don't think so, but like when you go out with your friends, I think we always just tend to put our phones down. We engage in the conversation, and you know, if we're needed, we know someone's going to text. No one has an issue with you like replying to a message. But like, you're not going to sit there like scrolling through TikTok or something. That is rude.
It's kind of like a give and take situation. On the one hand, it's I think for people who are closer to you, it's inhibiting people from just going out and interacting in public. But at the same time, it's helping us interact with people at greater distances. When you're at a concert, one thing that like some might likes, others might not, I'm not personally big on it, is how all you really are distracted by is the fact that I'd say half the crowd has their phones up in the air. And it's not like it's blocking your view or anything, it's just seeing all the little tiny boxes.
I don't like being sitting in having meals and people being on the phone. I would prefer to do that at home or on my own.
But do you ever have the thought, you know, when you're talking to someone, you're like, oh, this is so boring, I might have a text message on my phone?
Not unless I'm waiting, but I know a lot of people would.
And in terms of concerts and festivals, you go to one of those, how do you feel about, you know, people using iPads and phones to record everything rather than experience the thing?
I was at a concert last night.
Okay.
I do record some of it, but not all of it.
Does it rhyme with Marth Mucks?
Yeah, it does. It does, yeah.
And were you taking a lot of footage?
Not loads and loads. Maybe just on my favourite one, songs or so, yeah.
Well, everyone looks at their phone. They don't involve in any conversation. You go out to dinner and people are watching their phones. They're not engaging with the person whom they're with.
Probably a little bit, in the way that like when people like sit down for a meal, I feel like they should put their phones away. But, you know, people do kind of keep an eye on their phone. I don't really think that's right. It kind of fills the time a bit more, where I think people used to chat a lot. You know, like you sit on the bus, you're on your phone. Whereas if you're just sitting on the bus kind of looking outside, somebody might be like, oh, how are you today? You'd be like, oh, the weather's whatever. You know, that kind of way. So I'd say probably.
And are you the type that has your phone out at the dinner table?
No, I get given out if I do that. My family are like, Aoife, put that phone away. I'm like, okay.
You know, when you meet up with people, they're just checking their phone. They're not giving you their full attention. You don't really get the chance to properly speak to people sometimes. I was actually at Electric Picnic the other weekend, and I feel like I kind of had to make a conscious effort not to do that. You know, like so many people around you are just taking videos of the whole thing, but you want to, you know, be in the moment as well and enjoy it. So
there you go. People in Dublin speaking to our reporter, JJ Clark, about smartphone addiction. Joining me for reaction is clinical psychotherapist Stephanie Regan. Morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Anton.
Stephanie, does the data support the anecdotage? Are we using smartphones at ever-increasing rates?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, prior to 2019 and COVID and all the lockdown, people were spending 4 to 6 hours on their phone a day, and it's gone upwards of that figure. So it really is a lot. And I think, you know, that report, I have to say, I really found it very interesting, because I thought it touched on almost every single thing that I would mention about it. You know, apart from perhaps the addiction factor, which is that there is a dopamine release, you know, with scrolling especially. And that has an addictive quality. And I think we're, you know, many people will acknowledge that they find it hard to put it down. They find it hard to leave it behind and not to, you know, to go for the meal. So it's not just the social factor and the factor that it can kind of dilute our relationships. And it's also that it's actually the individual themselves finds it difficult to leave it behind. So I think that's it. There's two sides to that equation that need to be looked at.
But that level of time seems extraordinary, Stephanie. I mean, 6 hours per day is more than a third of your waking hours glued to your phone.
Yeah. But if you accumulate it, if you just look at it in the amount of times that people check and look, and this perhaps also remember, there's a lot of emailing and all of that also happens on the phone if you think of it that way. So it's not all scrolling. We're not suggesting, the suggestion is it's not all scrolling.
Is it also different depending on the generation? Because I remember watching a group of people in their 20s, and it wasn't that they were on their phones while they were having dinner. It was that effectively being on their phones was part of dinner. They were much having a conversation with each other through the phones as they were across the table.
Yes, and that has been researched, actually, this sort of a new dimension of the social interaction, which is that it's not always that they are disengaging from each other, especially young people, but rather, you know, we all know this sharing of what's on media, something you've seen, something you like, something you think is funny, and they do a lot of that. So it's not as, I suppose, it doesn't cut people off as much as where you are looking privately at your phone to look at your messages, to look at your email, or to check something for yourself. They do a lot of sharing, and I think that's quite a different thing. People talk, you know, about couples sitting. Just when I mentioned this to someone, they said, how many times do you go into a restaurant and you sit and here is a couple sitting across from each other and they're both on their phones and they're not sharing funny things or, you know, funny TikToks. They're looking at their own things. Now, that is a disengagement. That is disengaging from each other. And I mean, there are social impacts. Those impacts that keep people apart from talking, from chatting. And one of the younger people there mentioned about the idle chat. And I think we all know that it's in the idle moments that little different kinds of chats emerge. But if you don't allow that idling to happen, you don't get those sort of connection points. You know, oh, I forgot to tell you about such and such one. You know, or I forgot to tell you about something lovely that happened today, because you're filling your mind, you're streaming your thoughts. You're not going into that, what we call a very productive idle mode. And it happens in relationships too. And of course, it's a huge issue if they're in the bedroom.
Do you think that the smartphone impinges that much in the bedroom?
Yep, I think it does. I think it impinges on the connection points. If couples don't, you know, if they wake in the morning, this was very, very well shown throughout COVID, that because people were on their phones, they were lying on their phones. And I know there was another factor of anxiety, you could say, in all of that. But the whole sexual activity of couples had gone down.
But did we not always distract ourselves in the bedroom? Was it not either a book or a magazine or a TV? Hey, hasn't the day of the couples going to bed and saying, I will dedicate myself entirely to paying attention to you, wasn't that gone since the
30s? No, I know. And, you know, we're not all looking into each other's eyes every minute of the day and every minute of the night. I know. But we're talking about the idle moments where, instead of turning to each other, that couples are hiding within their phone life. And now, it may not matter if you're madly in love and everything is working out super, but it can erode closeness. That's really the point. It can damage the closeness that you can have and that you can maintain. It can kind of erode that over time. That's how I would see
that. So briefly then, Stephanie, give us best practice. What should we be doing?
Best practice. Well, they say less than 2 hours on your phone outside of work time. And I think that's not a bad, you know, a bad kind of parameter, if you like. But the other is, I think socially, first, I think at least excuse or let, you know, make some explanation for why you are on your phone. I think it's really important to leave the phone for some time. You may not need to do it all of the time because we're very connected now and we like that connection. And I don't think it's a negative in many ways. But I think that in terms of your personal relationship and your social relationships, you should watch what you're doing. People have become very unaware. Put your phone down, put it on silent, put it in your pocket or in your bag and say, we're out for dinner. This is where we are. Get in the moment a little more. They mentioned about the concerts there. I don't see a lot wrong with the concert thing because we are living in a visual age.
Oh,
people
Stephanie.
Love the photos.
Oh, no.
Et cetera.
Oh, you can't be in support of people holding up, filming a concert while they're actually at it to make a video that they will never in their entire lives look back at.
I don't agree. I was at Garth Brooks. I absolutely loved having that little video because in some respects, it's impossible to take everything in at very large events.
Well, I think
like
you must
that.
Be the only person in the world who has ever looked back on the video. Unfortunately, Stephanie, time is against us, so I'll defer to you on this one and say it's all right. Thank you so much, Stephanie. That is Stephanie Regan, who's clinical psychotherapist.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.